Hello, you're listening to Ready, Set, Go Real Estate Investing Podcast, presented by Brandon Elliott. This show will be going over all aspects of real estate investing and is intended to educate, motivate, and prepare you to take action on your first or next real estate investment. For more information, please visit BrandonElliottInvestments.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy.
Welcome back, everyone, to Ready, Set, Go Real Estate Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Brandon Elliott. And today we got my queen with us, Jennifer, the entrepreneur. We are going to be coming up with all the good stuff about Airbnb and real estate investing. So recently, for the last couple of months, like we normally have a little bit of a hiccup with Airbnb in San Diego during the holiday season, like during, what is it, Christmas and
Thanksgiving,
at the end of the day.
Our slow season starts from October all the way to beginning of like January-ish, but that's really it. And so what Brandon was talking about, oh, by the way, if you don't know already, my name's Jennifer. My Instagram handle is Jennifer the Entrepreneur and future Mrs. Elliott, if you don't know already. Bam, for all you listeners, I just popped up my rock. Anyways, so we've noticed that now it was past January and we're like, okay, you know, maybe it's slow picking up. A couple weeks passed in, we're like, okay, we're not making any money. What's going on? And so in this fine episode, we're going to be sharing three things that is going to help boost your listing if you're not doing it already.
So basically, it ended up just being longer and longer. So January started being an issue as well. And then February as well. And we were like, all right, what the hell is going on? We realized that there were some algorithm changes and some different things in the mix. And then lo and behold, you started going down a rabbit hole to figure out what the situation was and like instantly corrected it. So let's just dive into it. What are some of the things that people need to know?
I do want to mention, as I list all these things, it's good that even if it's just for this season or maybe you see a dip later on, these are things that you can do for any of those seasons as well. All right. So the first thing you're going to do is research as a guest. Now you're going to go to Airbnb, switch off to traveling, not on the hosting site. And then you're going to go research on properties that are similar to yours, whether it's like a two bedroom, three bedroom, whatever, one bath, and then make sure it's in that area. Okay. And why it's important to do this is that now you're going to scope out your competition and see, you know, who's actually getting the most bookings. And then you have to, you know, click the profile. How I see it is if they have a review that's been a couple days ago, 1 week, those are who I'm looking for. And if they're having those 5-star reviews, and then I'm going to go check out their listing to see, okay, what is it that is on theirs that's enticing that is not on mine? And so that's what you're going to want to do for a couple of them. Once you got a few, and then start editing yours to look like theirs, but obviously make it your own touch. Number two. So I don't know how far you guys are in the game with Airbnb. We've been there for almost 5 years or so as Airbnb Superhost, and things get updated, things get changed. Back in the day, in their listing title, you'll have to put, for example, if you're having the whole apartment or the whole home, you'll have to put, like, for example, beautiful home in the area that your listing is at so that people can know where it is. Now, with this new Airbnb update on the title, it already has, for example, there's this area near San Diego Zoo. It's called North Park. We have our apartment there. So now it's apartment in North Park, so we don't have to put in the title. And then below it, this is the juicy part and where you're going to want to listen, because this is where the bread and butter is. So in that second title, you're going to want to put something that's special within your listing. For example, the apartment that we have in North Park, it is walkable to Balboa Park and it's close by to downtown. Those are the key words you want to put on that second title. And why this is so important, we did this for ours and instantly there was bookings already. People are looking for those things and they want to know, let's just say for you, maybe it's not in such a city, but it's suburban, something cool about your area. Maybe it's the farmhouse, whatever it is. And then it's walkable to like a, I don't know, an Amish little town, or it's walkable to a plaza with restaurants or bars or something cool that you want to note on there.
So basically just something unique about the area that yes. is going to draw people in. You want to put that in the listing?
Yes, the listing okay. title.
In the listing title. Okay. But the location now you don't need to have in the title. You can have that in a new location right below, right?
Correct.
Cool.
And this has nothing to do with the descriptions. You can update your descriptions as you like, but this is solely for the listing title. Mm. The listing title.
Cool. So okay. that was two, right?
Yeah, those two.
And there's three, right?
Oh, yes. The third one, if you're not using this already, we use PriceLab for the past couple of years. And what PriceLab is a software where they use dynamic pricing. Now, you probably have heard of Airbnb smart pricing, and you're wondering, what is the biggest difference? There are a lot of huge differences between the two. Now, obviously, Airbnb smart pricing, they made it like a quote unquote cool feature that you don't have to pay for. And PriceLab is a flat $19.99 per listing that you have. There's no additional fees besides that. And you're thinking, oh, maybe I'll just save on that. No, let me tell you why. So with Airbnb, how they do it is that they only use in their market. The smart pricing, they'll go as low as only if your competitor that is similar to you, let's just say there's another listing that's similar to yours, is a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, and it's in the same location, and they're making money, like they're getting highly booked, then yours is going to get highly booked. It's not like the outside market, like different hotels nearby. They're not using that. They're only using in their circle.
So it's worth the small investment per listing that you have to actually pay for it.
For sure. So just going back, why you would want to invest in the PriceLab versus the Airbnb smart pricing, that alone right there, they only use their Airbnb market pool. Mm-hmm. So if it goes low, like let's just say one listing that's similar to yours is going low, they'll put yours low. But you don't even know, what if that they just have a crappy listing and no one wants to book to yours.
Yeah.
And now you have to suffer for it. That's the biggest key here.
Good.
Now with PriceLabs, okay, so even though it's an investment of $99 per listing, okay, whatever, $20 per listing. So with PriceLab, it's called dynamic pricing. They're going to go off of like a couple of different factors that is geared towards for you. What season you're in, is it a high peak season or low season? What kind of day that you are booking, whether it's like the weekday or the weekends, supply and demand, how many people are booking within your area? And it's not just Airbnb. They'll take it from different hotels. They'll take it from, you know, the other listing sites there is, Vrbo, you name it. They have like different booking sites.
Those are filters?
Yeah. I wouldn't say filters, but they'll take it from there too.
Okay.
So
they take all that into consideration.
Yes. They take everything I listed out plus that into consideration.
Cool.
And also supply and demand and how far away is the date. Sometimes if, let's just say you're booking far away from the date, they'll kind of tweak it to make it a little less. But obviously, whatever you're comfortable with how low you want it to be, the average pricing and the highest pricing, you want to go for it.
Nice. What other resources do you think are like beneficial and useful that we use within Airbnb? And by the way, like if you guys don't know, I handle more of the long-term rentals or like fix and flips, and then any of like the bigger syndication stuff. And then she handles any private money lending that I handle as well. And then she'll handle all the Airbnb. So I just don't have the patience or time for it. And she is amazing with it and has the patience and attention to detail with things. So it works out very well. But for other resources, what do you think would be beneficial or that we use that I'm clueless on?
Okay, before I jump onto the resources, I do want to mention that in PriceLab, what's really cool is that there is a feature where it shows you different hotels in that area location of where your property is, and they'll tell you for each of them how much they're charging per night, mm-hmm. how much they're charging per night, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. So they'll give you like an idea of that, and then seeing like how high you want to price yours and how low you want to price yours, depending on what's going the rate for the hotels. Well, you want yours to be more sexy and appealing than the hotel is what I'm saying.
Very good.
Okay, moving on to resources. Okay.
I mean, that's one resource. PriceLab's a great resource that you should definitely invest in. What else?
Okay. Yes, but that's part of the three things to boost. Okay. So for Number one, we use Turno. Now, if you don't know what Turno is so great. It is our saving grace. And so Turno, what I say and explain it to be, it's a dating app for hosts and cleaners. And that's really what that is. It's a match made in heaven. Okay, except you're not swiping left or right. I don't know how these kids do it these days. I don't know. I don't have those apps. But anyways, with Turno, here's when you can vet out different cleaners and then you can set up different cleaning projects. Now, even if you don't have a short-term rental, you can use this for your home. You can use this also for your rentals that you need to clean up before, you know, a new tenant comes in. I mean, this is really great. And they really vet out their cleaners. And also you can see their reviews.
We've also had bad ones on there though, right? And then we get kind of protected.
Yes. I love that you mentioned that. I forgot about that. You do get protected. Now, if you happen to bump into a bad cleaner and you already pay for that cleaning, you let Turno know and they'll refund you. And then, you know, they'll have a bad sticker, a different.
Oh, you would have to get a different cleaner.
Yeah, you will have to get a different cleaner because they're already giving you back
the credit. But basically, they're going to rate that person and make sure that they get them off the platform, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
They probably have warnings before they do that, the severity of it. But then you can get another cleaner to help clean the rest of it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So how Turno works, you do not need their subscription. The only reason you will ever need their subscription is that if you're building out a cleaning team or you have a clean team for Turno. And let me explain. So with Turno, they have four different options, but the main two options that are free, which is the one that we use, either you have one listing or two or more listings. And what that is how they make their money. Each project that you pay for, they take 8% if you're using credit card to pay for it. Or if you want to save a couple percentage ACH, they'll only take 5%. But if you already know, Brandon, where we don't like to do ACH and you've been following us for a long time, tell them, babe.
I mean, at the end of the day, 8% is a lot for a fee. But if ACH is still 5%, then what is the point? I mean, they're basically putting their fee to charge, right, into it. And that's how they're getting their commissions. So for middlemaning and having that host, that platform. So at the end of the day, 3 extra points for truly getting all the protection and points on your own card. I would do the credit card all day.
And for sure. Well, I want to add something in. You're actually not paying for the 8%. Neither are we. And let me tell you how. So for our Airbnb cleanings, we always put $40 or $50 or $40 to $60 more than the actual cleaning fee that we're paying. So essentially, that cleaning fee that we're charging the guest and that we're paying the cleaners, it's already taking out the management fee and we still have a buffer. So you're not paying for it.
So what that looks like and what you're referring to is basically we charge, let's say, for example, $150 per cleaning, right? But the cleaning is actually, let's say, $100. So in return, we pocket $50. But obviously, some of that goes towards fees, materials, management, you know, on your part and so forth to cover up that. So that additional little extra buffer is something that I feel like probably a lot of people out there don't do. And I am a big, big advocate of them doing so because things add up when people break things or wear and tear or you ordering a bunch of extra, like you just ordered a bunch of things from Amazon that you're going to bring over to the property, you know, tomorrow. And so all those things, it costs money and it adds up. And if we can get just a little extra chunk out of it to be able to cover all those things, which it does, then that's perfect. That's how you should be doing it.
Yeah. So we'll take that back. It does pay for itself for the 8%.
That's right.
And also to add in, we get a lot of questions on, well, what if the guest doesn't want to pay? Let me tell you, we've started this and they pay. They pay. And so if you give them exceptional service and then you also, no one's ever had a problem with the cleaning fee.
What do you
say?
They pay. What do you mean? The cleaning fee?
Yeah. So
okay.
Hosts are afraid, like you mentioned, where they only put the either the exact cleaning fee. So like there's no buffer. So for example, they'll just charge $100 instead of how we do it, $150.
Yeah.
And then there's people that have come to me and asked, oh, well, are you sure the guests are going to pay for that? Are you losing business because you're adding the additional $50?
Yeah.
And I will tell you this firsthand experience. No, they still book.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you can always look at the market of like what other people are paying, what the other Airbnb hosts are charging, and you'll be able to see. But at the end of the day, like you're still going to want to outsource and find a good cleaning crew, because that's one of the secret ingredients. Like that's so, so crucial. But have them on standby and have it at a discounted rate on an ongoing basis so that you can have that extra buffer of funds paid from the guests to handle all the supplies and the management, because it still takes, you know, resources, gas, time, energy, efforts to be able to manage the cleaners and get everything done. It's not just, you know, $100 for the cleaning fee for the guest and $100 to the cleaner and that's it. You know, we still have to triple check, make sure it's done properly and all the other things in between. So it adds up.
Mm-hmm. One last thing I'm going to add for Turno is that with Turno, you can set different projects and different pricing. So let's just say like you want for this particular home to be X amount of dollars, like you can do that. And then you guys can even negotiate between you and the cleaner to see how much you want to pay for this project. So I really like that flexibility. And another bonus. Okay. So if you have been on the fence to turn your rental property or an extra room into a short-term rental, let me tell you, it has blessed us and the amount of money that you can make it is astronomical. It's very savvy with what you can do for a real estate strategy. So highly recommend doing it. And I wouldn't do it on Vrbo. We'll save that for another episode, but it's really outdated and the fees are so high. It doesn't make any sense for you to go on there. And Airbnb is only 3%. And also, if you've seen the description in here, I got some fun bonus links for y'all. Okay. So first thing is, if you already have an Airbnb and you're looking to now, you know, invest in PriceLab, if you use the link that we provide, you're going to get a 30-day free trial. And plus, you're going to get a $10 credit. You're going to get a $10 credit. We're going to get a $10 credit. It's a win. It's a win, right? Okay, let me tell you more wins. Now, if you have decided that, you know what, thanks Jennifer and Brandon for sharing about your Airbnb and how truly it has blessed you and your family, and now you're ready to make a jump and put your listing on Airbnb, if you use our link down below, you're going to get a $40 credit for just hosting your home. And hey, if you don't like it, you can take it off.
That's from Airbnb?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They do a $40 credit?
Yeah, they do a $4 credit.
Oh, cool. Nice. What do we benefit from that?
We also get a $4 credit.
Cool.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like if you are inspired to do your own Airbnb, if you haven't already, or if you need some of these tools, resources, like don't sleep on this stuff. It can really, truly help grow and scale your business. It can get you that financial freedom that you may be looking for and help be able to pay the mortgage and so forth. Like, you know, we have a duplex. We Airbnb downstairs when we don't have friends or family here, really. But we have that ability. Our mortgage is like $5,700, but we live in Old Town, San Diego, where it's a very popular area and it can get a premium. And it's a beautiful house and beautiful unit. So it's like, it's a no-brainer to be able to get additional cash flow that basically pays for the mortgage each and every month. Plus, like we can have friends and family over and have them stay. And it's always been a blessing to be able to pass that on to others and keep everybody close to us during holidays and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. If you need those resources, take action, take advantage of them. As you know, like we would greatly appreciate you using our links because we both benefit, but it really doesn't matter. Get out there, just take action. That's the main thing that we want to kind of promote here. What other benefits to Airbnb? What else do you see in the market right now? Where do you think Airbnb is going with all the laws and restrictions and, you know, the headache that we've seen the last couple years in San Diego? That is, I mean, you know, there's rumors of it spreading in other cities and other states. So it's like, what do you think? How would we pivot or what would you want to do with the Airbnbs? Like, do you think it's going to stick around for the long term?
Good question. Well, there's a line that we say in this household. If there's a will, there's a way, and we're going to make it through. And we have. San Diego was crazy when it came to their Airbnb laws. we work through it and we're able to have all of our listings that we have here in San Diego. Airbnb is not going anywhere. If there's one person that is going or one company, I would say Vrbo. And the reason why jokes aside on Vrbo, it was doing well for us. Oh, it was doing okay for us, not well, okay for us. It's just a different clientele there. There's a lot of scams that's on there as well too. But you'll know, if you do know about scam and how they fish, you'll know.
Yeah.
But anyways,
they're not the best.
They're not the best. But definitely short-term rentals, especially with Airbnb, it's still going to be there. And I think it's going to grow even stronger. And really, it became stronger as like with 2020 hit. And now like people are wanting to travel still. And now, in companies, they're doing a lot more of like staying home in the office work. What do you call that?
Stay at home.
Mobile. I mean, what there's a term. I'm shooting blanks. I'm trying to think as I'm talking about this. But basically where they don't have to show up in the office. So now a lot of working professionals.
Nomads?
Not nomads, no. Oh, okay. It's where they're not required to go to their work.
Okay.
Like their W-2 or whatever it may be. So they're not required to go to the office. So now a lot of working professionals that we see do book to stay with us. Yes. And so
just to get out of the house and get to travel a little bit and stay, you know, in different cool places.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So definitely working professionals, a lot of bookings with us. Another trend. Okay. And that's like within even the future. So Airbnb is going to be staying no matter how many laws or how many crazies it's going to get. The news around the block also, if you know, you know, but now you know, is that they're starting to have an association for Airbnb hosts or short-term rental hosts that will protect us more. So that's being more effective. And that's starting to happen around different cities that are dealing with like these crazy Airbnb laws from politicians that don't know, and I won't even go there, but don't know the business aspect, as you can tell within my face and my voice. But yeah, so it's still going
to
stay.
And so there's two sides of the coin. I always like to look at it. You know, at the end of the day, you could be against Airbnb and say, well, all these guys are going to do is throw parties. And some bad host out there may allow stuff like that. You know, we actually deny a lot of people with Airbnb. And we don't attract that type of clientele. Like originally first starting out, we made a ton of mistakes, but we started learning from those mistakes, started to adapt and started to make our place not look like a party house, not look like, you know, that type of theme, and more for like the families. And so having that family type of look, feel, touch, all that stuff, you know, it really started bringing more of that. So not that much of the riffraff kind of comes around, but it's one of those things that, you know, we have had horror experience in the past. We've had some bad things, such as like, you know, the parties and stuff that were horrible. Some people allow that and they just let it keep going. And so we don't want any damages or our neighbors hating us or anything like that. We wouldn't want it if we were staying there or next door. Like, this is our babies that, you know, our properties that we invested in. So, you know, I think it's really important just to, like, if politicians and people that are coming into laws that are going against Airbnb and stuff like that, if they would realize that there should be certain guidelines and restrictions in place, but there should also be just common sense of, like, you know, having proper structure and no crazy parties, no nonsense. You want to talk about our horror stories for a second?
Yeah.
In the past?
All jokes aside about politicians, all jokes aside, I'm really glad Brandon brought this up. There's two sides of everything. And I've read several articles on this of the opposing side of like why they wouldn't want Airbnbs and why obviously as homeowners, we can do whatever the heck we want with our home and put on an Airbnb. Really, guys, there's more good apples than bad apples. Okay.
Facts.
Okay. And that's with anything in life. And so
yeah.
We understand where people are on the opposing side of not wanting to have the Airbnbs because they're afraid of like the parties.
They don't want trash.
But let me tell you this.
I get it.
No host wants to deal with parties. Okay. If you read the forums and you understand the Airbnb host, you will know they do not want that. Because why? It's the product. If you're going to trash the place, why would they want you to trash the place? Because then no one else can use the product, and that means they can't make money. So
ideally when somebody checks out at 10, 11 a.m., like you want to fill it that same day, 3 hours later, 3-4 hours later when check-in is, so that you can get it clean, turn around and keep rocking and rolling.
Mm-hmm. Hosts get a bad rep, which is the opposing side, like thinks that, oh, the host doesn't care about neighbors. The host doesn't care about their property getting trashed or damaged. The host doesn't care that parties or events or whatever is being thrown. And let me tell you, that is not true. Mm-hmm. Again, if you want to hang out at Airbnb forums and check them out there, it's free. You can go on there and they don't like that. And so it's like these bad apples, and there's only a few bad apples that actually do throw a party, and we're going to share one and how to avoid that. But now with Airbnb, they're so strict. There's even a hotline. So if you call Airbnb, there's a hotline that says, hey, is there like a party or unsafety going on?
Wow.
Then they'll go directly to that part. They have a party department.
Mm.
A party department.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
it's awesome.
Very awesome. And now with these like different guidelines, I mean, they already had guidelines of no parties.
Yeah.
Now it's more like, it's kind of like the item that says gluten-free, you know, it was gluten-free. And then now they're just saying, oh, gluten-free on the box. That's exactly the same thing with Airbnb.
Let's talk about our horror story. Back in COVID times, right? 2020, we ended up, I think it was the beginning of the summer, like June or July, something like that. We were fresh with one of our Airbnbs and...
Fresh.
And so what that looked like, we ended up having a couple that ended up messaging saying that they wanted a stay home vacation type of thing, like a home away from home.
Yeah, like birthday, anniversary, something like that, celebration.
And they live here in San Diego. They wanted just those two. And so we agreed to it and we don't do those anymore. They have to have a good reason. And like we've had good people that have like an insurance thing, or they're building something on their home, or some emergency happened. And, you know, and that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They end up being some of the best because they have to stay there a little bit longer, paying a premium, insurance is covering it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they want to get back to their home. But these guys ended up throwing a big party. We saw it on the cameras. I think we got notified by one of the other guests, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fourplex. So one of the other units notified us at 9 o'clock. We have like quiet hours from 9 to...
Actually, back in the day, now we have quiet hours from...
Didn't happen then, huh?
No, we had them. We did, but we had them at 10 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Mm.
Now we have it at 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. because... Hey, listen to this. If there's one other note that you got going down, is nothing good happens after 9:30. Okay. So if it's 9 o'clock, if it's 10 o'clock, it's too late. You're up to something.
That's
okay.
Right.
That's it. So that already in the beginning of itself is from the nine that we had the quiet hours.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. good. And so anyway, we had what, like we saw on the cameras, we always have cameras too. So you can see from a distance.
Oh, sorry. While we're on the cameras, if you're listing, had like when you put your listing down, make sure that you do mention that you have cameras. Like don't be putting it on and not putting that there, because then it gets really messy and then your listing's gonna be taken down and then you gotta fight for it to go back.
We never had that, right?
No, we never had that.
But we had other people we knew that didn't put it and it ended up being a nightmare for them. But anyway, going back, we ended up having on the cameras, we noticed there was like at least a dozen people outside smoking, drinking.
A Snoop Dogg concert.
Yeah, it was intense. Inside, basically, we called them right away, said, hey, you got to get out. They said, fine, that's okay. And everybody's got to go home. A couple minutes later, we see them doing not a damn thing. So then we start getting in the car because it's a 5-10 minute drive over there.
We're in the still middle looking. Night. So what time was it? Like, I think it was like 10:30, 11. Yeah, 11 o'clock.
Yep. And then so we call them again 5-10 minutes later as we're driving over there and they're still not leaving. Instead, they go inside the house. And then once I knock on the door, once we got there, there's like 60 of them inside in this small 2-bedroom, 1-bath, like 650 square foot unit. And they had a bunch of people. It was just a hot mess. And then it looks like they put it on social media. And so they had a bunch of people coming all throughout, you know, until 2-3 o'clock in the morning, had people showing up. And it ended up being like over 400 something people that, you know, we were able to kick them out within an hour's time frame, calling the cops dozens of times. It wasn't doing any justice for us. We had neighbors calling the cops and everything. The people went outside and they stayed in like groups, like 3-4 different groups of like 25, 50 all throughout the neighborhood, which in this beautiful, nice neighborhood, it just looks aggressive in general in the middle of the night. And people were like driving crazy, doing burnouts, you know, tapping other cars that were parked. It was horrible. And then one person even set off fireworks in the middle of the street.
That was a cherry on the top with everything.
It was a cherry on the top for sure.
Fireworks.
I couldn't believe it. So yeah, all the neighbors were pissed to say the least. We were as well. We were devastatedly embarrassed and we were desperately trying to get everybody out. And it was just a nightmare. So not fun. She was crying. I was trying to get everybody out, thinking that like, oh God, there's a lot of people here. What is this going to look like? And man, it ended up, it was just a kind of crazy situation. And so we learned from that. We realized to not ever, allow. So you start seeing trends, you start seeing little things that you're like, no, I rather pass off on this, whatever the money is. No, I'm okay. And so we do the minimum of 3 nights or 4 nights, something like that.
I think, right? For us, we do just a minimum of 2 nights. Oh. Depending on how big the property is, we'll do a minimum of 3 nights. Okay. Like for the other homes, we do a minimum of 3 nights.
Because it's a bigger property.
Gotcha. It's a bigger property.
Yep. So all those things are important. We've had people that message saying like, hey, they're interested, but their picture has, young kid with beers in his hand. It's like, that's not going to be good. If they're just promoting that right from the start. She always likes to ask, what's bringing you to town? Why do you want to stay here? Stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm. So these are all good points. So, okay, back to that horror story really quick, is that there was actually two parties that was being thrown from two different guests. So this is a building of 4 units.
Well, one got inspired by the other one, yeah. I believe. Mm-hmm. And they started just, from like 10 or 11 or 12, they just started calling other people, trying to get people over to get that party going because they saw the one downstairs. So we ended up having to kick out 2 people that night.
Yeah.
Two groups.
And then Airbnb, we already told Airbnb about them. So they're obviously their profile got, flagged mm-hmm. for throwing parties. And so in that case, it's a safety issue for yourself. It's a safety issue for the neighborhood. And so Airbnb, it does not like that at all. It goes against their policy. So you can kick them right out the house because this is your property.
Yeah, the cops didn't show up for at least an hour later. So it was kind of right when people were starting to finally leave. So it was just kind of a crazy situation.
Mm-hmm. Good learning curve. So yeah. What Brandon was talking about is like these pre-questions like, oh, what brings you into town?
Pre-qualifying
questions. Okay, so before, when they book with you, there's like an inquiry or like to try to book, then you can have those questions listed out. Now, for us, we learned the hard way is that whatever guest comes in, we need to see their ID.
Yep.
That has been we don't need to see their ID, but Airbnb gets to see their ID. So Airbnb verifies their ID for, protection. So we understand, but it needs to be Airbnb ID verified before they can book with us. And there's a new, actually this is not new, but it's already been on there, is that they have to have good reviews and be recommended by hosts mm-hmm. to be able to book with us.
Yeah. And then I think one of the things too, that I don't know if this is always right, but originally we would just kind of let like anybody, when we first got started, we just let anybody kind of come in. And then we got really particular, like, hey, we're going to deny a lot more people. There's been people that we denied that we couldn't really get a good full reason, but of like why to deny them. But we had just a funny, we didn't have a good reason to accept them either. And so on those situations, we really just decided to go with your gut on that, pray on it and realize like, yeah, we don't need the money for potentially whatever this could bring. It wasn't enough selling us in the right direction. And we felt kind of odd from the start. So situations like that too, I think it's important to kind of just listen to yourself and instead of going after everything.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. Yourself knows so well. If there's like that feeling, like Brandon said, that gut feeling doesn't feel good, just don't do it. And even then, when he says you lose out the money, look, when a door closes, another door opens. Okay. And it'll be the right door that opens.
We've actually had multiple times where you've denied somebody that we didn't feel good about. And then out of nowhere, we would get booked an hour or so later with somebody incredible that you're like, yes, that's the right one.
And more.
Yeah.
Like, and more, yeah, more money. Yeah. More money.
More money.
More money. Still problems.
But at the end of the day, you want to avoid anything that doesn't align with what your, like, your avatar client is going to be, because it will cause way more headaches, way more frustrations, mm-hmm. more damages, like more headaches all around that is just not needed and not wanted by anybody. So mm-hmm. waiting out for that prime person is going to be ideal.
Mm-hmm. And don't let this scare you guys with Airbnb. There's only a few bad apples. And then also, we actually turn on instant booking, meaning if they hit all of it for the ID verified by Airbnb, they are only recommended by host. So any host that denies them, like wouldn't host them again, they're not able to do that. So in that kind of criteria, we have instant booking on and it works well. So don't be scared to use that. It's really good, actually. You get a lot more bookings with that. But just to really piggyback on everything that Brandon said about, you know, bookings and bad guests. Again, there's only a few bad apples, so
it's good.
It's you still make the money there regardless.
Yeah. I love it. Anything else?
Actually, some new trends that I'm noticing in at least in the San Diego market. We know we have a lot of friends that actually have Airbnbs out here, and you're listening, and you're probably noticing this too, is that there's a lot of remodeling going on right now. And so a lot of our bookings have been people who are remodeling their homes and they're staying for a big, significant amount of time. And then also working professionals that are being hired on for projects, like certain projects here that are booking with us. So that's a really cool trend to see.
Yeah, I love it. So I hope that really does bless you guys. And at the end of the day, it helps out. Like, it helped our business, because once we realized like something was going up, we were having these issues from the winter months taking just a little extra longer than normal. We were like, hey, something's going on. And obviously, like, that isn't the only thing Jen does. She handles a lot of our operation side for Credit Council Elite in many ways and overseeing other people in a leadership role. So with all that being said, we were very, very focused, laser beam focused on Credit Council Elite this whole year, really. And so less, you know, eyes and attention on it. But we were like still like in the back of our mind, like, why isn't this working? We've had it on autopilot for a while now, mm-hmm. for years. And you got to realize that things change, algorithms change, and whatever it may be within their system. And we weren't aware of that. But right when we, you know, eventually she was like, enough is enough. I got to take a look at this. And she deep dive into it. And then boom, instantly we saw the change, like instantly. I think it was like 30 minutes, an hour later, like an instant booking. And it was just one of those things of like, wow. And yeah, it's been a blessing. So anyway, if you haven't started real estate yet, if you haven't joined and like jumped into Airbnb, like it's incredible in many ways. If you have, then hopefully some of these resources and our stories behind it are not just funny and wild, but can really help you out as well. And if you haven't already hit that subscribe button, what are you waiting for? Do that right now. I would greatly appreciate all the love and support. You would get the newest notification every Monday, you know, after subscribing. So do that and then leave that 5-star review. Greatly appreciate all the love, all the support recently. You guys are amazing and love you guys all so much. And also, if you haven't checked out Credit Council Elite yet, what are you waiting for as well? You're going to want to really just be a part of that. Check out what we got going on at Credit Council Elite. Get a second opinion today. Hear us out on how we can bless you and teach you the fundamental steps on how to get up to $500,000 in the next 30 to 90 days at 0% interest, plus 10, 15, 20, 30,000 in free signup bonus cash from these banks, not just banks, but credit cards as well. Crazy stuff out there. So travel hacking, all that fun stuff, liquidating it into cash and being able to put it into real estate and jump into Airbnb or what have you, whatever you want. So with that being said, love you guys all so much. Check out creditcouncilelite.com. That's www.creditcouncilelite.com today to get that second opinion. And we will see you on the next episode. Till next time, God bless.
Thank you for having me. Bye, guys.
See ya.
This has been another episode of Ready, Set, Go Real Estate Investing Podcast, brought to you by Brandon Elliott. For more information, please visit BrandonElliottInvestments.com. Also, please don't forget to like, share, and leave a comment below. Thanks again for joining. Until next time, God bless.